And then I think the dark horse for me would be Maybe from Annie.
Whoa.
Because I just freaking love that song. Hello, and welcome to episode 113 of Theater Nerds.
I'm your host, Rachel Jones. Taylor, I like how you're like, just in case you don't know what the digits are of 113, it's 113.
And I'm your other host, Taylor Reed. Theater Nerds is a podcast about our obsessions with theater, where we will explore all aspects of theater, musicals, and everything in between. This is what I'm talking about. 2024 is the year of just bloopers. That's all. Last year was unhinged, and this year is just bloopers.
Taylor said it's live theater, baby. Eat it up.
Exactly. This is what you get. A new show every day.
Well, speaking of a new show, this is a podcast, and it's not set up to be a deep dive into technique or theater history, but we're hopeful that no matter if you're an enthusiast like us, or if you've only seen your Earth Day's production of The Secret Garden Jr., you'll enjoy this podcast. So cue the orchestra and come nerd out with us.
Just to go on a little side tangent, I did last weekend, Rachel, a little deep dive on all the junior shows that we reference in every episode. And would you like to know, we've repeated three shows. Would you like to know the shows that we repeated? One of them's not an actual show. I just want to point that out. Hocus Pocus Jr. We've repeated.
That's incredible.
Beauty and the Beast Jr. Yeah, Beauty and the Beast Jr. And then Little Women Jr. And they were close. Little Women was close together. It was like five episodes apart. I was like, wow, we really weren't doing our research there.
Wow.
Whoops. In case you guys didn't know, you can find us on all major podcast platforms.
That's right. You can and you should leave us a star rating and review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, because that helps other theater nerds out there find this podcast.
That's right. To find out more about the Theater Nerd Cult, check us out at theaternerdpod.com, or you can also find us on Instagram and Threads at Theater Nerd Pod, and on Facebook at Theater Nerd Podcast.
In today's episode, we're discussing March Musical Madness, The Final Game.
All right, Rachel, here we are. Let's get back to business of the March Musical Madness. Here we are.
God, we finally made it.
I know, we made it. 12 episodes.
Really effing long time.
I know, it was like, someone was like, do you have any plans tonight after work? And I was like, well, do I ever. And explained the March Musical Madness to this lay.
A really good talking.
That kind of glazed over when I was talking about it.
She was like, you said musicals, I'm over it.
Yeah. Although whenever I say March Musical Madness, people do chuckle a little. Like, they're like, that's a clever title. And I'm like, yeah, we definitely made it up.
We definitely made that up. LOL.
Yep. No one ever in history has done that.
No.
Happy Earth Day.
Happy Earth Day. We love the Earth.
Yes, we do. Today at work, we do this thing where, like, I work with children in a mental health hospital, if people don't know. And we do this thing where they, like, tell us their mood rating. And one of my fellow coworkers was like, and also tell us, like, what planet you're feeling like.
Cute.
Do you fun things like that. And no one said Earth except me. I was like, I'm feeling like Earth.
Aww.
Because I'm feeling grounded and I'm feeling like I want to be with people.
That's sweet.
I know.
I want to tell you,
like, Venus or Neptune. And I was like,
cute. The moment you said, what planet are you? I was like, well, I'm interplanet Janet. She's a galaxy girl.
Rachel is a galaxy girl. That's true. It's true.
Xenon the sequel, but a musical. I'm just saying. I'll leave it there.
Xenon the
Xenon version of Zeusical, coming to an experimental theater near you.
Yeah, it's a mix. It's a mashup. Yeah, we have lots to get to. Our final game, which the results were tallied minutes before this recording.
Minutes before.
Yeah,
it did end.
It ended today as of recording this, but I'm excited to talk about it. I think we can also kind of go back and look at the past, this song edition of March Musical Madness, and just marvel at what went on to each round, because I think it was definitely surprising.
Me and all my sticky notes. I have my sticky notes right here.
Rachel has all her sticky notes of all the songs for those.
ASMR.
ASMR. But of course, we need to do our weekly Broadway current, modern, however you would like it, theater news segment. What's the buzz?
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. 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 What's the buzz?
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. And oh boy, Rachel.
I
said before we were recording, there's not that much buzz this week.
And I was like,
but there are some heavy hitters.
Yeah, true.
Is what I'll say.
Is what you will say.
Some big ones. Well, first, why don't you start with this one?
Okay, first off, It happened technically the day before we last released an episode, but we didn't have enough time to react because we were not staying up to watch this and then record. And the Olivier Awards happened, and we just want to shout out Hannah Waddingham, the legend, the myth, the woman.
She needs to be on Broadway.
Talent. And maybe Taylor and I will discuss our favorite performances. There were some performances. There were some winners.
Did you watch the whole thing?
I ended up watching.
Okay, I did not watch the whole thing.
The whole thing.
How long was it?
4 hours.
Oh my gosh,
Almost 4 hours.
People talk about the Oscars being long, but that's so long.
But anyway, I would love to talk about the performances if Taylor watched some clips or whatever. But I do want to shout out some winners. Specifically, we're gonna specifically talk about musicals. Operation Mincemeat won Best New Musical, it's actually not that crazy.
True.
And then Best Musical Revival was Sunset Boulevard. And there are lots of amazing. I also want to shout out Best Actress in a Supporting Role in a Musical, Amy Trigg, who won for Little Big Things. First of all, I really love the music to that musical.
I was wondering what Little Big Things was. I didn't get a chance to watch that video, but I watched
really good.
A lot of the other ones. But
first of all, you should listen to the music. So I've listened to the music for all the new musicals that have music out. So Next to Normal being the one that doesn't. And then I have obsessively watched the Sunset Boulevard clip from the Olivier Awards, which was absolutely amazing. So I also, before I ask Taylor what his thoughts are on winners and the performances, I want to say that Hannah sang a song at the very beginning with a lot of the cast from a lot of musicals coming out and singing alongside her. And the song obviously was all about musicals. It opened the whole award ceremony and it was all about musicals. And I thought, are the plays okay? Are they going to be okay? But also I want to give it to Hannah. I think that it was a very big song. It was maybe too big for the time. But it was good. But I also think it's so funny to see the difference between an opening number in the Olivier Awards versus an opening number in the Tony Awards. It's very interesting.
Right. Well, okay.
Eli has thoughts.
Yeah, Eli does have thoughts. Eli is back this week. Here's the thing is that the arena that they do it in is just so big.
It's so huge.
That some of the shows get lost for me.
Is it in the old Vic or no?
No, it's in like the O2 arena, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
Isn't that what it's called? I don't know. Rachel's looking this up right now.
No, the Royal Albert Hall.
Oh, it is in Royal Albert Hall? Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
That's still big.
Yeah. It's very big. Anyway, so I watched the Guys and Dolls performance. I watched Next to Normal performance.
Did you watch Sunset Boulevard?
I did watch Sunset Boulevard. Sunset Boulevard. Oh, God.
It's so good, though.
I mean, that revival is going to do great on Broadway, I think, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, and it won a lot of awards, and I think kind of overshadowed some of the new musical awards.
I agree.
But then I watched Operation Mincemeat, which I kind of was, I don't know about you, but I got like Come From Away vibes. I don't know.
You should listen to the music. Yeah.
As far it's as like, far off. Sure people are playing different characters maybe in the show. That's just the kind of vibe I got. It also seems very British.
It's super British. Yeah. It's super British.
Which I think is, I understand why it won, because they're catering to their audience. That's like Hamilton.
Yeah. Yeah. What one thing that I thought was interesting was I felt like A Strange Loop didn't get very much.
No, action. Not much of it at all.
It was nominated for Best New Musical, but that was it. Yeah. And then I want to say that Stranger Things, The First Shadow, was nominated for a lot. Mm. And got it won a few things, but not honestly not as many as I thought. Best sound design or best set design, sorry. Best new entertainment or comedy play, but it didn't get a lot of. I mean, got nominated for quite a bit, but it didn't have as many as I thought it was going to. It did not win best sound design. It did not win best director, which I really thought it would. Sunset Boulevard won best director.
Right.
And in terms of
the directors of
actors
the
or actresses.
Oh, interesting.
Sunset Boulevard was the only musical nominated for Best Director.
What did you think of like the show as a whole?
It was so long.
Yeah, it needed.
There were some good speeches though. There were some good speeches. But yeah, it is a very British show.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah.
But Hannah did a great job. That's a hard show to put together.
Yeah. Well, and we've talked about how Ariana DeBose is now becoming the mother of the Tony Awards.
The Tony Awards.
But a term that I'm trademarking right here.
I love it. Get her a t-shirt.
And then maybe Hannah Waddingham is becoming the mother of the Olivier Awards.
Maybe. So. Well, maybe. But anyway, it's exciting. If you haven't listened to any of the new musicals, you should.
Yeah.
You should definitely watch the awards.
Hey, what did you think of the Next to Normal performance? Because that's like one of our favorite shows.
So. I was like, how could we opt up? How did we opt up? In I'm Alive, I was like, we were opting up?
Mm-hmm. He was great.
He was so
good. Like first couple lines in, I was like, okay, he's good. And then he kept going and I was like, dang, he's really okay. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I really want to see this.
Yeah.
I really want to see it on Broadway.
Yeah. And of course, famously, first annual winner of the March Musical Madness, Next to Normal. Beating out Les Miserables. According to us, really, not our fans. So
yeah.
Really,
also, one other thing I wanted to shout out is the Oklahoma Revival did a performance as well, and I thought they were really good.
Yeah,
I'm also very partial to this.
The U.S. tour. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, yeah. I saw the U.S. national tour of the Revival.
Yes, we love that.
New and
okay. This next bit of news is just kind of crazy to me because of the West End revival. I guess it is a revival. But Rachel Zegler and Connor from
Heartstopper.
Yeah, Joe Locke. I know, so many thoughts.
So many Heartstopper
are going to leave. Yeah. Eli's a big Heartstopper fan.
He was
are going to lead Romeo and Juliet on Broadway this fall, 2024. They both were posting it, the R and the J, on their social media. And directed by Sam Gold. And then also, right. This is what has
music.
Me, yeah, has me like, what? Music by Jack Antonoff, who is famously three-time Grammy winner in a row consecutively for Taylor Swift albums. Will it be another one for this new album, The Tortured Poets Society or whatever? But I'm excited for this. I think I'm excited just Rachel Zegler to be on Broadway. But I find it interesting that her first thing, like, she's most well known for being in musicals or like being the musical lady. And this is going to be a play. So
is it a play?
I think the thing that leads me to believe it will be is it doesn't say music and lyrics. It just says music. So it's going to be like
the lyrics are Shakespeare. Shakespeare wrote the lyrics.
So you think it's a musical version of Romeo and Juliet with the original text?
Did I read the Variety article before this? No.
That's okay. What are your thoughts, Eli?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh.
Those are good thoughts.
He literally has thoughts. So many Romeo and Juliet thoughts, huh?
I don't know. I mean,
I know. I think the thing is too is that of course she got her start in the business playing Maria in the West Side Story movie,
which is basically Romeo which is and basically Juliet from Romeo and Juliet. So what's crazy here is it Gatsby all over again, but it's like obviously Romeo and Juliet has been a bajillion adaptations, but right now still running and a part of our buzz later. And Juliet, a modern day adaptation of Romeo and Juliet, where Juliet doesn't die.
Right.
Which is a musical. And then you're going to have this play with music, which might also be a musical, time will tell. That's going to play on Broadway. And then you have the West End production of Romeo and Juliet also. So you have three.
With Tom Holland. Right.
Right. You have three different versions of the same story. A story we've heard before.
Nick Connor's British, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have, it's just wild.
But also, this makes me feel like the Heartstopper community needs a musical episode, because if Joe Lawson and Nick Connor...
I wouldn't be surprised if there is one. Like, if Joe Locke was like, hey, we're going to do this.
We should do this. Yeah, Joe Locke was actually really, really good.
Yeah. As Rachel, as people know, Rachel saw Sweeney Todd with Aaron and Sutton and Joe Locke. The triple threat.
I won lottery tickets.
What did you think of this Romeo and Juliet, just to wrap that up?
What? That's me. That's how I felt. I was like, what the heck? And then I was like, what?
I've heard that it's also going to be modern, like the Leo movie. That's what I've heard.
It says it's going to cater to the TikTok generation, is what the Variety article says.
So that's the word for word. It's going to be 10 minutes long.
I was like, what? But also, like, I do love this. I love this. I love the story. I almost said the musical. Right. I don't love the musical. I do love the story. I just, here's my thing of, like, could we bring something different?
Right. Well, and honestly, you wouldn't get the caliber of these two stars if it wasn't different. I don't think Rachel Zegler and Kit Connor would just do a basic revival of Romeo and Juliet. I think there has to be something different.
No, of course. And that's not what I meant. I just meant, like, could we do a different show? But you know, I'm open to the whatever this might look like. Mm-hmm. I have no hatred towards Romeo and Juliet. I actually really it was one of my favorite plays as a kid.
So when it's performed really well, it's like really great. So
it really is. Yeah. When it is, it really is. Yeah.
Moulin Rouge is going to embark on a world tour starting in the UK, and it's going to be starting in 2025, which feels forever away.
I know.
But I will say Moulin Rouge it's very popular. It's been on Broadway now for a while. I think it's going to keep chugging along.
I do too. It's the new Chicago.
The new Chicago. That's right.
This next one is I was like, what? What's going on? What are we doing?
Are you not excited for it?
I don't know, Taylor. Like, here's my, once again, why do movies need to be musicals? We've done this forever, I guess. It's fine. I don't know what I want. This could be fine. I'm just like, well, could we do something else? This also feels like a really big show. The movie feels like a lot.
Yeah.
So to make it into a musical feels like a lot. Anyway, so Crazy Rich Asians musical is happening, apparently, and John M. Chu is going to direct it. Yeah. So is this a movie musical?
No, it's the stage. It's there. What I saw is that there's an out-of-town tryout happening soon, like very soon. That's what I heard or read in the article.
I trust John M. Chu. This is not what I would put my money behind.
I think that's very exciting to see a director of a movie who we know has done well in the musical space. Granted, in the movie musical space.
Right.
I mean, he's only done one movie musical, so, and Step Up. So
I mean, can't forget. You know, I love Step Up.
And the Justin Bieber concert movie.
God, so good.
Wow. We're all believers. And
I am, for sure. Yeah. I wasn't as a child, but I am now.
Right. But I think have we ever had a director of a movie then go and direct the same story on stage? Like, that's so cool. I think that's so awesome.
I'm sure it's happened. I'm positive that's happened. But as a musical, really? I don't know. No, yes.
That's what I'm saying. Yes.
But as a musical, I don't know. As a play, I'm sure it's happened.
But think about that's like Greta Gerwig directing Barbie on stage. I feel like that would be amazing.
I just feel, here's my thought, Taylor. I just feel like this story is not the story to adapt to the stage as a musical. That's all I'm saying.
But that, I feel like there's lots of examples of that are like, huh? And then it ends up being great. So,
of course, I'm not saying it can't be great. I just, that was my thought when I saw it. I thought interesting. You asked me what my thoughts were. That was it.
True. That's what this podcast is. Do we have a writer involved yet? Like writers?
I think there might be. I didn't look hard enough.
Yeah. No, I understand. What was I going to say? I don't know. It left my brain. I was going to say something about this, but Maya Boyd will take over the role of Juliet in Anne Juliet.
Taking over for Lorna Courtney.
Yes. Who? Lorna Courtney has been in it for a while. So good for her.
Yeah.
And another show that is just still chugging along. Doing
still going.
Well.
Another jukebox musical still holding residency at The Great White Way.
I'm hoping some of these now, because I was looking at the Broadway grosses for this past week. And
Taylor, they were terrible.
They were, but some shows did better that I was surprised about better than others.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then there were some that I was like, 300,000? That's not enough to sustain.
I always look at capacity. Now that we're talking about Broadway Glorosas, I look at how much money they're making and then also their I always check capacity first before I look at money.
See, I actually thought the capacity was better than the gross, which maybe that, but for a lot of the shows.
But you look at capacity, you look at average ticket price, and then you look at their gross for the week.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you always reference Brian, the business analyst.
We can reach at him.
Oh, great.
Brian, come on our podcast. Talk about all your thoughts.
Let's talk about the grosses.
Oh, he's got thoughts about the rumor that Joe Jonas is coming back to Broadway. No, Joe Jonas is coming back to do the last 5 years. You know, the Jonas Brothers canceled their tour in the UK.
No, I did not know.
Okay, this is my, I don't know if any of this is real, but this is the rumor mill. So the rumor is, well, the rumor is, I think in terms of them canceling their tour did happen. Their European summer tour. And the rumor is because two of the Jonas's, the Joni, if you will, have Broadway contracts that have come up.
The science guy.
Yeah. And so Joe Jonas and Nick Jonas, apparently maybe both are coming back to Broadway. And the thought is that Joe Jonas is going to play Jamie in the last 5 years on Broadway. And they're going to take the space where Kimberly Akimbo is, the Booth Theater.
Wow. Fascinating.
That's the tea. That's the current tea. Is any of that true? I don't know. Besides that, I think they really did cancel their tour. But is any of the rest of that true? I don't know. So, and Leah Michelle, I'm telling you, Leah Michelle's coming back to Broadway.
Yeah. I think it will happen. Different. She wants a Tony Award. Like, there's no doubt.
She's having a baby, so she's gotta have a moment.
Right. It is.
The opening's gotta be, it's gotta be a fall opening.
Leah Michelle and Ben Platt and something. That's what I want to manifest together.
Wow. What a time. Do you think that they would? No.
I mean,
no, Ben is best friends with Beanie.
How the tea, that would be so...
Tea would be piping hot, Taylor.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Happy opening to these shows. Some of them opening past week. But The Wiz and Suff's opening this past week. So congratulations. We hope you run for long after your opening. And then Cabaret and Hell's Kitchen opening this coming week on the 22nd. We are excited about all these shows. There's so much happening on Broadway right now, which is very exciting.
And preview start for Illinois.
Yeah. Preview start for Illinois. Wow. The 16-week run. And then pictures of Heart of Rock and Roll, which I had a friend go see and said it was just utterly delightful.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
I hear it's great. It's going to unfortunately be open for 2.5 weeks, and that's
Right. We got pictures of Suff's, which looks like it got a little bit of a glam up, I will say, from the public.
It does look like it got a glam up, but the rumor mills told me it's not enough. They didn't tighten enough.
Not enough. Yeah. I have heard Gatsby got a lot better. Did you see Jonathan's post?
He posted
this show has gotten better since its original.
It needed to.
Yeah. And then pictures of Stereophonic and Uncle Vanya, which just looks
amazing.
Uncle Vanya looks like a fun night at the theater.
It looks like you pack a whole box of tissues. Yeah.
And Steve Carell looks like old, but in his I was going to say depressed Gru era, I guess.
Depressed Michael Scott era. Yeah. I will say
Michael Scott era.
Yeah, his alcoholic Michael Scott. Stereophonic, though, I hear great things. It's the play. Yes. It's maybe the play of the new plays. It's maybe the new play.
But the shark is broken. I just want to go back to that.
Okay, but it's not currently open, Tay. But
You're right. And that's our buzz this week.
That's the buzz.
So much. I know. So what a whirlwind. Oh my gosh. And if you guys couldn't hear, Eli.
And then that's also fake buzz. There's some fake buzz, some rumor mills that I shared.
Oh, the rumor mills. Right.
We don't know yet buzz.
Fake buzz. Tell me what's happening. Yeah. Fake buzz. For those that don't know, Eli had to go to bedtime, so he is gone. But he does have thoughts about this final game, because he told me during our commercial break that we don't have that he was sad by this outcome. He wanted something else to win. Was he on his own or was he
oh my god, you guys.
Was he screaming oh my god, or was he on his own? Who knows. So for this final game we have of course Oh My God, You Guys versus On My Own from Legally Blonde. And what a time this March Musical Madness has been. And let's just reflect. We had
also have we done a deep dive on both of these shows?
We have not done a deep dive on Les Mis, but we did the La La Band.
Oh, okay. I was like, I feel like we've talked about it. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked a lot about Les Mis and how it was a seminal part of my theater upbringing.
And we haven't talked too much about the lore of Russell Crowe, but we won't say more.
I mean, we'll do a whole episode on it one day on RC. Good old RC. Yeah. But we had, of course, our four categories: openers, ballads, showstoppers, and closers. Me picking the closers and the ballads. That's what I picked. And Rachel picked the openers and the showstoppers.
That's right.
We were confused about that last week. We were like, who chose what? And did you have like, I don't know if we ever talked about this. Did you have like a system of how you picked all the songs or?
Yeah, I can't remember what I said earlier in the time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think my system was, I thought about shows and then one led me to another.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wanted to try, I really wanted to try and have a depth of range of different types of shows, not just like shows in the past 20 years, but really wanted to go like beyond that. So that was something that I was conscious about.
There are also so many, like I just, there were like, I didn't pick any from Phantom of the Opera and I could have, and I should have, you know, like there were just, there were just a lot of shows where I was like, oh, we could have done, oh, we should have, oh, we, you know.
But Andrew Lloyd Webber was represented, so that's all that matters.
Yes. It's not like I'm worried about him. He's not getting royalties from this podcast anyway, so it don't matter, but yeah.
Well, I was just going to ask if you yourself was like, I'm going to pick one song out of all of these, what would you choose?
ASMR. Even though it might not have made it anymore?
Correct.
Do you have an answer to this while I think?
I'm just looking. I think I have like a final four.
Okay.
Which would be Light from Next to Normal.
Uh-huh.
Would be So Big, So Small from Dear Evan Hansen. Because I just freaking love that song.
Yeah.
It would be On My Own. The Lame Is.
Mm-hmm.
As we've discussed. And then I think the dark horse for me would be Maybe from Annie.
Whoa.
Because I just freaking love that song. That would be my dark horse. And then I think out of those, I think I would choose Light out of those, which maybe is too predictable, but Light or On My Own.
Oh, gosh.
I know, it's so hard. There's so many choices.
I think I would pick Opening the New World from Songs for a New World. Yeah,
which did go on.
I think I would pick...
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of something else. No, that didn't go on.
I think I would pick Song of Purple Summer from...
Yeah, you Spring love that Awakening. Song.
I love that song. I think I would pick Home from Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, I freaking love that song.
And I think I would pick Forget About the Boy or Mama Will Provide.
Forget About the Boy is great.
And I think that I would go with Home, probably, which I feels like a very stereotypical theater girl answer. But it's a good song. It's my On My Own.
I think maybe as much as I love stuff that Alan Menken has done in the musical Aladdin and the musical Newsies, the stage version, but I honestly think he has not written a truly great songs since that the musical version of Beauty and the Beast. Because and I'm saying all of like the little live action Little Mermaid, like all the stuff he's done, because I think those songs like Home and If I Just Love Her and all those songs are just so like a Change in Me are just like so iconic for the musical that I think it's he's kind of like chasing that a little bit.
Did the stage version come after Little Shop of Horrors?
Little Shop was before Beauty and the Beast.
Okay.
Yes. Because Alan Menken and Howard Ashman got hired at Disney because of Little Shop of Horrors.
Okay. Because that to me is his best work.
Right. I have never seen Little Shop, so I cannot comment on that because
wild.
I have never seen it, but I have heard a lot of the songs and I think that they are great.
What about Home on the Range? That was a good movie.
So good. But I just think like you're saying, the encapsulation of home is like maybe one of the best songs he's ever written, which is like kind of crazy.
I know. It's incredible.
And that's not even with Howard Ashman. And I think Howard Ashman is a genius. So.
I know.
Okay, well, those are our thoughts. I mean,
none of those are the ones that are in here.
One of my songs has made it to the final round.
Yeah.
So, and Rachel, so our two results. Oh my God, you guys, for some man, we have 71% versus 29%.
So sad. It's so
Rachel,
sad.
Do you already know who this is going
I
to?
I wanted it to be closer.
I will say there were multiple times because I checked it kind of throughout the day and throughout the time that this, there were times where it would flip flop back and forth. There was a time it was 50% and 50%. I mean, it was just going all over the place. So
I think here's what I want to say before you tell me who won.
Mm-hmm. We're doing the American Idol. Like,
yeah.
They're waiting.
I'm Ryan Seacrest. Yeah. Wow. Goals. Anyway.
I mean, you're kind of going to be the Ryan Seacrest at your new job, of your new job.
No, I am not. Not me. No. Not the host. I'm raising money.
Yeah, you're right. That's someone else who we talked about.
That's literally someone else. Yeah. Oh, rabbit hole.
I'm sorry.
Okay. This is what I want to say about Oh My God, You Guys from Legally Blonde versus On My Own from Les Mis. They are such wildly different songs. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They are doing something completely different in the space of the story of the musical. The style of the musicals are so different. They almost couldn't be more different.
Mm-hmm.
And they are taking place in very different time periods, both the writing of the music and also the story of like that's happening in different cultures. And one is a solo and the other is an ensemble piece. So I just want to say that from the beginning, there are lots of differences that make the comparison between these two very challenging. And then you don't even add on, like, we hope that people who listen to our podcast and are on our Instagram and voting have some knowledge of both shows, but maybe they don't. Maybe they only know one. And when you think about brand and you think about longevity, obviously Les Mis is winning out. So I want to just...
They both are big brands.
But one specifically is a bigger brand and has always been a bigger brand as a musical. And the other is a big brand writ large as an entity, not just as a musical. And I think...
Why I'm surprised it made it to the final round. That's why I'm like, what? It's kind of wild.
Yes. What I would say is this feels like when you have two very qualified or like it just it's hard for me because this is also about women.
Yes, that's what I was going to say.
This is why this is very like this is why I want to say my little piece here, because it feels like pitting two different types of women against each other and styles of women
and
against each other.
And Mel Woods.
And I just like we're not here for that. We're not really doing that. This is like for funsies and games and laughs. And like obviously this has no accreditation. Like we're not gonna award someone with an award that they won March Musical Madness at the end or whatever.
We're not gonna send a little award to Laura Bell Bundy or Leia Salonga?
I was like, who are we going to send it to? Leia Salonga.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's not about that. But I do want to say it does feel awkward to talk about these two songs in this way because of the very woman-ish-esque experience that basically are two very different women that often get pitted against each other. When we think about plots of musicals it themselves, like Vivian could very easily be Eponine, and Eponine could be Vivian in the sense of like with Elwoods and Lily Blah. Anyway, so I just, and Elwoods is like the Cosette. It's just a lot for me. And we often play women against each other as a plot point in musicals and in stories. And I don't love it. Is it entertaining? Yes. Do we do it all the freaking time? Absolutely. Do I still go see those shows? Do I still eat it up? Do I watch reality TV? Yes. The answer is yes.
Rachel's perpetuating it, but calling it out at the same time.
I just want to call it out. I do want to call it out specifically for our podcast.
I was going to say, like, we have lots of girl power in this final two.
Yeah, that is also exciting. Yeah, the women.
Speaking of that, the WNBA draft, the women are getting paid way less, and we just want to shout that out, that they should not
be. First of all, they are way more gorgeous, so they deserve a raise just for that.
Just because of their looks. Yeah, let's give
them. Not just because of their looks, but they were working hard.
Yeah. And again, like I talked about last week, this is kind of representation of who Rachel and I are, maybe a little bit. Is Rachel the on my own, or the oh my god you guys, or am I the on my own, or oh my god you guys?
You've already answered that question for you.
Well, yes, I do feel like on days we're a little bit of, depending on the day, we're a little bit of both. So
fair.
As I said, 71% of our audience chose on my own as the winner.
Yes.
And 29% voted for oh my god you guys. So now we crown.
We need to play it as an out, as an outro. We gotta play it.
Do do in the rain. We'll play the Leah Michelle version in honor of her maybe coming back to Broadway. we're starting that rumor.
It's happening with Joe Jonas.
Yeah, it's happening. We're the producers. Have I talked about how did I talk about this when we did the La La Land, that my favorite part of the song is the, and now I'm all alone again, nowhere to go, nowhere to go.
The very beginning of the song.
Which is not in the movie.
Lot of people don't sing.
Yeah, but it's like one of my favorite parts of the song. And now the night is near, now I can make believe he's here. Yeah. Oh, so good. I'm very happy with this outcome, but I think I would have been happy with either one, to be honest.
No, honestly, this is what I expected. I expected this.
Right.
And you know what? So did Broadway World, where Les Mis.
I'm literally going to say that. Yes. Yeah. Broadway World.
If you don't know, we have a running.
Are you voting on that, by the way?
What?
Were you voting on their? No, I wasn't either. So funny.
So we have a bit where someone definitely listens to us who works at Broadway World.
And Playbill. Yeah.
And Playbill. But specifically, they did their March Musical Madness and they did musicals, which is what we did last year, which was so challenging. And it got down it got so 2023. And it got down it got down to like two musicals, and one of them was Les Mis and the other was,
Hamilton. It was Hamilton.
And I was like, LOL. I was
thinking, because we didn't put Hamilton's opening in our openers. So I was thinking, I wonder if it would have been the on my own versus Alexander Hamilton, which also would have been very interesting.
Which would have helped.
I again want to reiterate, I think Any Dream Will Do would have been the truly dark horse, like last seed song if it had made it to the final round. Like Any Dream Will Do versus upset. On my own.
I would have been upset, and also it would have been an upset, and also I would have thought that was the funniest
thing. But as much as I love Legally Blonde, I still think like it making it to the, like that's like a mid tier. It's not like the greatest musical ever written, but it's a great song and a great show.
Right.
But the fact that it made it to this final round, I think is a testament to how fun the musical is and how fun the show is. And On My Own is like a super fun song too.
The fact that this isn't Wicked versus Les Mis was very surprising to me.
Right.
Yeah, which we talked about last week.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's our March Madness crowning last year. We also had Les Mis in the bottom two, but Next to Normal Reign, Supreme, spoilers. Sorry if you haven't listened to it. And then And then this year, On My Own, winning the song edition, which again makes my heart very happy. So
good.
Yeah. Oh, Rachel, God. Thank you for having this March Musical Madness discussion. We will be back with our scheduled programming next week.
Regularly scheduled.
With actually a brand new episode as far as content that we've never done before.
Yeah.
Maybe not regularly scheduled, but it will be something very fun that we're introducing to the show. And if we can figure out how to do it. And then the next week, if you know, you know, we'll be talking about some very exciting news the next week.
If you know, you know.
I mean, everyone knows that's listening to this podcast.
Tony.
Yeah, that's right. Tony Awards are coming, and we're going to talk about it. Right, Rachel?
We are, Taylor. Right. We are going to talk about it.
Yep.
We're going to talk your ear off of the Tony Awards, about the Tony Awards. Pick a little more.
Setting out this year, I think we actually technically talked about the Tony Awards more last year than we are going to this year in all the episodes that we did last year on the Tony Awards.
Good for us.
But there's only so many, you know, famous Tonys in history that you can talk about. So.
I don't know. I want us to do every single Tony rewind.
All right, Rachel, let's talk about our character of the week.
Let's do it. This is the segment at the very end of every podcast episode. And if you skip it every week, sad. And this is the first time you're listening to it. We think we're so funny. Yeah. Stay for the comedy routine.
Every week, then you're not listening to this.
Yeah. But anyway, this is the time where Taylor and I pick a theater character that we're feeling like for this week. So we think, what the heck have we been up to? What have we been feeling? What are our thoughts and our vibes? And then we scour the theater universe. And we pick a similar thought. What? We pick a character or thing that has a similar thoughts, feelings, or vibes. Gosh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Bloopers. We would also love to hear live theater. We're doing it live. We would love to hear your characters of the week and also your thoughts on Romeo and Juliet, Rachel Zegler, Kit Connor. Is that his name?
Yes.
My brain wants to say Kit Harington, who was
John Kitteridge.
Kit Kitteridge. Yeah, that's the third one I want to say. And then, of course, your thoughts on who won the March Musical Madness. Did you think On My Own was going to win? Did you think, oh my God, you guys, were you happy with these results? Or were you, you know, sad but expected like Rachel was? Comment on our social media pages. Tell us who your character is this week. You may get a shout out on a future episode. Raquel, would you like to hear my character this week?
Tell me, who are you? Who are you?
Who am I? I'm not Jean Valjean this week. Oh. Yeah. Okay. Not 24601. This week, I am once again, as we always are, Rachel, say it with me.
Breaking all the rules.
Yeah. As Maddie says in Catch Me If You Can. Maybe I'll just play that little clip of Norbert Leo Butts, like right here. Breaking all the rules. Yeah.
I love Norbert Leo Butts as we talk. Norbert, we don't talk enough about him.
We just don't. We'll dive on Norbert next week. Anyway, this week I am not a character. I'm not a musical. I'm not a song. I am someone in real life. I am a person this week.
Whoa.
Because this week, there have just been lots of feelings, and I feel like I've been, like, expressing. I finally went to therapy after a couple weeks, and I was, like, just been expressing a lot of feelings. And I feel like this person, because of a recent interview I watched with them, is just very emotional and available. And this person is the one, the only, the person we have done a deep dive on that we absolutely love on this show.
Aww.
Jonathan Groff is who I am this week. That's my character. I'm just Jonathan Groff. That's who I am.
Cute.
Yeah.
Cut to the video of him with the lie detector test.
Yeah. Well, really cut to him saying that he'll just stand outside of his apartment and cry in front of a tree in front of his apartment.
Or whatever. So I'm beautiful. Like,
Jonathan, are you okay?
Because it's so beautiful. It's giving life.
So hilarious. I love him
so much. The fact that he is so talented and can take such direction and can be in a business that is often very competitive and challenging and has a lot of people and personalities and be so kind and sweet and gentle.
Genuine. He seems very
genuine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Love him. Come on the show, Jonathan.
Jay
Grafsas. Rachel, who is your character this week?
Taylor, I too am breaking the rules.
Breaking all the rules.
And I was just thinking, this is so funny. It's been a moment since this show left Broadway. And when I say a moment, not that long ago, but long enough ago. And long enough ago for me to be like, revival. And anyway, it also, they think that they themselves are funny and someone posted a piece of paper that said something about it outside of the theater that they're renovating, saying it's been a year since the last incident. And I found that really funny. So that I'm partly that, but also I am this specific thing from the show because I recently went through a relational change, which was really sad. But it was really heavy. And then, I have to reset. I have to go back to reposition myself. So this week I am the chandelier from Phantom of the Opera.
I love this. So
I too fall down and have a moment, and I am heavy with many of my crystal pieces, but I have to be reset every show. Mm-hmm. So that's me.
When I fall down, I get back up again.
That's right. I wish the chandelier had a freaking song. Can you imagine if from the point of view of the chandelier, let's do a spoof on Phantom of the Opera.
Phantom of the Spopra.
And the whole second act is just from the point of view of the chandelier. Yeah. What the hell are y'all doing down there?
Much like the chandelier, Rachel also has five burly men with off on the wings carrying pulling wires up so that when she falls down she comes back.
Too am a marionette who requires five burly men.
I don't know, maybe it was more, maybe it was a computer, who knows.
I'm crying, I'm obsessed with that.
So you're welcome for that image, theater nerds.
I myself needed that. Thanks, Tay. Thanks for telling me who you are.
Jonathan Graf and the chandelier. That's all we need in our life. If you guys would like to join in on our discussion, check us out at theaternerdpod.com, or you can also find us on Instagram and Threads at theaternerdpod and on Facebook at theaternerdpodcast.
Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
Oh yeah, I did forget to mention that that song is actually an NFL song. It's not a basketball song, and I've been using
it. I know, it's a Saturday night football or Monday night football. I know.
I don't know why.
I knew that.
That's how much sports I know.